Just Energy with naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise. We have learned from Einstein's theories that matter and energy are one. Physicists believe that all systems in nature have their own particular way of vibrating. From the swing of a pendulum to the waves in the ocean to the light that brightens the sky each day, each of these oscillates at its own unique rate. In the same way, things such as rocks and minerals vibrate very slowly and at speeds that are imperceptible to us. Living things such as plants, animals, and man vibrate faster and appear to be alive. The same holds true for every thought, feeling, event, or word we speak. Each has its own frequency or rate of vibration. What many of us don't realize is if we take everything in our own universe down to its simplest form, it is all just energy. Join Dr. Rita as she explores questions such as, what are we made of? Why do we get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? Call in and talk to her and her thought-provoking guests. Send us your questions and get the help you need to move beyond any obstacle or challenges that may be affecting your life, right from the source. So stay tuned and explore your possibility.
No exception. In the first hour, we're going to be talking to Graham Hancock about his new book, Entangled. And in the second hour, we have Brad Steiger, and he has more books than God, I think. And coming up with just an hour's worth of questions to ask him was virtually impossible, but we're going to get as much out of him as well. I have a couple of announcements to make, and then we will get Graham on the air. First, if you are interested in becoming a medical intuitive and intuitive counselor and energy medicine practitioner, my training program, the Institute of Applied Energetics Training, is on sale right now. So it's on sale for the month of October. For more information about that, go to www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com and you could be a medical intuitive yourself. November 6th is the History, Haunts, and Legends Conference in the haunted town of Jefferson, Texas. I'll be there speaking about 2012. For more information about that conference, go to jeffersonghostwalk.com. Also, as always, if you're interested in getting a medical intuition evaluation, a psychic reading, getting some energy work done, or just signing up for our newsletter, please go to www.soulhealer.com. You can see hundreds of pages worth of information, articles, all kinds of good stuff, and you can drop me a line. Anyway, let me tell you a little bit about Graham and get him on the air. Graham Hancock is the author of the major international bestsellers, The Sign and the Seal, Fingerprints of the Gods, and Heaven's Mirrors. His books have sold more than 5 million copies worldwide and have been translated into 27 languages. His public lectures, radio and television appearances, including two TV series for Channel 4 in the UK and the Learning Channel in the US, Quest for the Lost Civilization and the Flooded Kingdoms of the Ice Age, have put his ideas before audiences of tens of millions. He has become recognized as an unconventional thinker who raises controversial questions about humanity's past. So please welcome to Just Energy Radio, Graham Hancock. Hey, Graham, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good, Rita. Good to talk to you, and nice to be with your guests, with your audience on your show.
Well, thanks for coming on. I am just really excited about this. I know that one of the reasons that you were able to come on the show is that you're in the U.S., and from what I understand, you're doing a tour around the country?
That's right. I'm on a book tour. Sorry, say again?
I was just wondering, you know, what you were speaking on. Were you talking about the new book on the tour? Were you giving
yes.
a multitude of different presentations?
No, it's primarily connected to my new book, which is my first novel. It's a fantasy adventure novel called Entangled. Some of your listeners may know that I've been a non-fiction author for the last 20 years, focusing on the possibility of a forgotten episode in human history. And my books, Fingerprints of the Gods and Underworld and Heaven's Mirror, were about that. And these were, although providing a radical alternative view of history, these books were extremely thoroughly documented with factual evidence. And that's the kind of work that I'm known for. And as a matter of fact, the publishing industry has not really wanted me to break out and become a fiction author. I found that huge efforts were being made to keep me in my box as a non-fiction author. But luckily I found a small, vigorous, open-minded publisher in the U.S., the Disinformation Company, who published my novel, Entangled, and they put me on this massive book tour around the U.S. to try to get people to hear about it. And one thing I'm really asking the readers of my nonfiction over the last 20 years is to give my fiction a chance and empower me to take this new path, because the publishing industry didn't want me to take it, but my readers can empower me to continue to write fiction, which is definitely my new path now. I think that in our society it's possible to explore extraordinary ideas in fiction in a way that it's not possible to do with nonfiction, and this is very much the next step for me. And my entry into the realm of fiction came about in a most extraordinary manner, because I was given this story in a series of visions in the Amazon jungle while working with shamans there, and under the influence of the powerful visionary brew known as ayahuasca, the vine of souls. This whole story that I've written in my novel Entangled was like a download from the visionary realm. And at the end of these series of visions, I got a very clear instruction, which was go home and write this book. So I went home and wrote this book, I'm putting it out there in front of my readers now, and I'm here in the U.S., speaking in many different locations to try to get these ideas across.
I do have a little bone to pick with you. I looked at your tour schedule, and you're not coming to Dallas at all.
Yes.
Or Texas, or anywhere near Texas.
Well, like I say, the publisher who's publishing my book are a small publisher, and they have very limited resources. So we had to work the tour in a very careful way to try to keep the costs down as much as possible. I would have loved to come to Dallas. I've been in Dallas before on many previous book tours for my nonfiction, but it just wasn't possible economically to put it together this time.
One of the things I thought interesting in that list is that you're going to Kingston, New York, which is where I'm from, which is where my whole family is. And I'm going, let's see, who can I send with books in hand, or, you know, with money in hand, to go get books signed for me? You know, I got them wheels turning up there, so I don't know. You might have somebody show up and say, you know, I'm Dr. Rita's sister or brother or somebody. It could happen.
Cool. That would be fun.
Well, great. In your book, it seems like you dove into a number of metaphysical and spiritual topics, such as near-death experiences, astral travel, et cetera, as opposed to more ancient mysteries. And so, you know, with the genre changing, it seems like some of the subject matter has also shifted.
Yes, you're absolutely right. The subject matter has shifted a great deal. My last nonfiction book, published in 2006 in the U.S., was called Supernatural, It looks at a mysterious moment in the human story during what we call the Stone Age, when it seemed that a light was just switched on in the human brain all around the world, and extraordinary paintings in caves and in rock shelters document this moment. What's clear is that ancient shamans were inducing altered states of consciousness, often with visionary plants, to enter what they thought of as the spirit world, and which quantum physicists today might call parallel realms and parallel dimensions, and that they had encountered intelligent entities in those realms who brought teachings and progress to mankind. And that's why the subtitle of my nonfiction book, Supernatural, was Meetings with the Ancient Teachers of Mankind. While researching this book, as I mentioned a moment ago, I've always believed as a researcher that it's extremely important for me to put myself deeply into the subject I'm writing about. And since I was writing about shamanism and altered states of consciousness in the Stone Age, I looked around for surviving cultures in the world today who still practice true shamanism and use altered states of consciousness in order to reach spirit realms. And in the Amazon, this system of exploration of the mystery of reality is still very much in place. And there they use an extraordinary brew, which is a mixture of two different plants, and it's called ayahuasca, the vine of souls. And when you drink this, it's quite an ordeal to drink it. It does make you physically ill, but it plunges you into a seamlessly convincing parallel realm. And indeed, one of the mysteries of ayahuasca is that people from all over the planet, no matter what their background is and without comparing notes, when they drink ayahuasca, they find themselves in the same places as others who are drinking ayahuasca, and they find themselves encountering the same intelligent entities. Now, I know that this may sound nuts to some readers, to some listeners, but I would say that without having had the ayahuasca experience, it's impossible to come to a judgment about this. And really, it's a good idea to listen to what the shamans in the Amazon say. And they say that behind the ayahuasca brew lies a loving, feminine entity, the mother goddess, the spirit of our planet, Our Lady of the Forest, they call her, Mother Ayahuasca, who seeks to teach and educate mankind and move mankind on to the next level. And in my own experiences with ayahuasca, which I've now drunk more than 30 times, I've had a number of encounters with this extraordinary and brilliant entity who lies behind the ayahuasca brew and uses the ayahuasca brew as a means to get in contact with humanity. And in 2006, after I had published my last nonfiction work, which was Supernatural, I kind of reached a decision in my life that I wanted to take a new path. I wanted to try to take my narrative gifts and apply them to writing fiction. So I went back to Brazil, and I had five more ayahuasca sessions there with the specific intent of exploring a novel, of exploring fiction possibilities. And ayahuasca responded with this just incredible download. I was given the two principal characters of my novel. One of them is named Rhea, and she lives in the Stone Age 24,000 years ago. She's a modern, anatomically modern human like you and I, but she lives in the Stone Age 24,000 years ago. And the other principal character is a modern young woman. Her name is Leonie, and she lives in the 21st century in Los Angeles. And what I was shown in my visions was a supernatural entity of pure goodness who I call the Blue Angel. And essentially, she is the Our Lady of the Forest, the spirit of ayahuasca, who, traveling, working across time — time, I was shown, is an illusion. It's just an energy state, as your show rightly comprehends, that time, that our notion of time as past, through present into future, that time is an arrow, is incorrect, and that in fact time is a series of spirals and cycles that intersect and intercross. And that it is possible to have influences flowing back as well as forward in time. So to cut a long story short, the visions showed me that the supernatural entity, who I call the angel, would bring these two young women together across the veil of time in order to do battle with a demonic force which is traveling through time and which seeks to mislead and misguide humanity. The demon is called Sulpa, and the blue angel is unable to interfere directly on the material plane, but can influence human consciousness and guide humans to take the necessary choices to resist the demonic influence. So it's an adventure story and a time slip novel with strong time travel elements, but I don't propose a time machine to get my two young heroines in contact. They are in contact with one another through altered states of consciousness, and their first encounter occurs during a near-death experience that the modern character Leonie has in Los Angeles.
Okay. We'll come back to that storyline. But you were talking about the ayahuasca, and that's a kind of a hallucinogen, I'm going to make the assumption.
Yes, it is. The active ingredient of ayahuasca is DMT, dimethyltryptamine, which is a Schedule I drug in the United States. And it's found in the leaves of an Amazonian plant. They call it chacruna in the Amazon. The botanical name is Psychotria viridis. But the interesting thing about DMT is that it normally cannot be metabolized orally. When DMT is given in medical experiments, for example, Dr. Rick Strassman at the University of New Mexico got permission from the federal government to give DMT to human volunteers and to explore the extraordinary transpersonal experiences that they had. He gave the DMT by intravenous infusion, and it produces an incredible 12 or 14 minute journey to the very short, very fast journey to literally the other side of reality. But in the jungle, in the Amazon, the shamans with thousands of years of experience have come up with something else. You see, there's an enzyme in our stomachs called monoamine oxidase that normally switches off DMT on contact. But in the Amazon, as well as the leaves that contain the DMT, the shamans involve a vine, the ayahuasca vine, which is mixed into the brew and cooked together with the leaves. And the vine contains a monoamine oxidase inhibitor, which switches off this enzyme in our stomachs and allows the DMT to be ingested orally and produces a stunning and extraordinary 4-hour journey of self-discovery. And a teaching experience, lessons are learned during this experience. One of the strange mysteries of ayahuasca is that she seems to work with each of us to make us a better person, to examine our own behavior, to become more nurturing and less toxic towards fellow human beings, and then shows us these extraordinary realms that are not of this earth. Allows encounters with the intelligent entities that inhabit those realms. Now, as I said, in the United States, DMT is a Schedule I drug, but throughout South America, because ayahuasca has been in use by indigenous cultures for more than 4,000 years as their sacrament, as their means for gaining direct contact with the spirit realm, throughout South America, the use of ayahuasca is not illegal. As a matter of fact, its use is protected under laws of religious freedom. It's regarded as a fundamental human right to be able to work with these powerful visionary plants and to gain the insights and teachings that they offer. I'm kind of resistant to the word hallucinogen. I would prefer to hear ayahuasca described as a medicine.
because that is truly what it is. The language in our society has become so distorted by the war on drugs that people tend to have an automatic negative reaction towards the word hallucinogen. And they really need to go and look into the incredible research that lies behind ayahuasca, which has proved it to be a stunningly beneficial experience. Indeed, ayahuasca is now being used by a French doctor at a clinic in Peru to get people off their addictions to hard drugs. After 12 ayahuasca sessions, people who are addicted to cocaine and heroin find themselves relieved of the addiction and never return to the addictive state again. So there's a remarkable medicine at work here with healing powers for humanity, and it was my privilege to drink ayahuasca and to receive a story from ayahuasca and to have my own creativity boosted and shifted in a different direction.
From what I understand, shamans from cultures around the world, and I don't know if they use the ayahuasca, but they use similar type substances to achieve the same kind of state of reality. True?
Yes, absolutely right. Really altered states of consciousness are the essence of shamanism. Anyone who claims to be a shaman who stays in the alert, problem-solving state of consciousness that we use in our society today, I would say that person is not a shaman. Trance states are really essential to the performance of the shamanistic mission. And most widely around the world, shamanistic cultures do use visionary plants. Might be the Amanita muscaria mushroom, might be the psilocybin mushroom. In Central Africa, the visionary plant is called Iboga, the plant that enables men to see the dead. Here in the U.S., the Native American church uses peyote as the visionary instrument to gain access to other realms. And, of course, there are a range of other techniques that shamans use in places where they can't get access to visionary plants. For example, in the Kalahari Desert, the Bushmen use a dance. The shamans will dance for 24 hours around a fire until they sense their spirits leaving their bodies and traveling into the other world, where they gain access to spirit entities and can learn vital information from them. Meditation, hypnosis, certain kinds of music can also help us to slip into the visionary state. And I think it's really important to emphasize, again, there's a lot of misunderstanding in this area. A lot of people feel that it's a kind of proven fact that our consciousness is simply generated by our brains, the way a factory makes cars. That's how it's presented to us in our very materialist and reductionist society today. But in fact, there's no evidence for this whatsoever. It's equally possible that our brains are transceivers or receivers of consciousness, rather in the way that a TV set receives a TV signal. This is certainly the conclusion that Rick Strassman at the University of New Mexico came to with his research on DMT, that what these substances are doing, these visionary substances are doing, is altering the receiver wavelength of the brain and allowing us to see areas of reality that are normally closed off to our senses. So far from this being just brain candy, just our brain on drugs, the suggestion is that we are interpenetrated and enclosed and influenced by supernatural realms, non-visible, non-physical realms. But our focus on the material realm is so intense that normally we cannot access or see these other realms, but that if we use shamanistic techniques to alter the receiver wavelength of the brain, then we may indeed gain access to these other realms and interact with them proactively. And this is the shamanistic mission, and it is supported by the latest scientific research that we may actually have a secret doorway inside our minds through which we can project our consciousness into other realms and other dimensions and benefit from the teachings that are available to us there.
When you talk about other realms, what are they like, or who lives there? What kind of beings or entities would you encounter?
These other realms at first appear deeply strange, just as if we were to travel to a totally foreign country on the other side of the globe where we had no knowledge whatsoever of the culture. We would also find that strange. It's a journey into new experiences. In the case of ayahuasca, whether you drink it in a city, and by the way, I should add that members of a number of the Brazilian churches that use ayahuasca as their sacrament, these churches have now come to America, and the Supreme Court has definitively ruled in favor of their right to drink ayahuasca in America under the United States laws of religious freedom. What's interesting is that whether you drink it in a North American city or whether you drink it in the middle of the Amazon jungle, as you enter the visionary state, you find yourself very often at first in a jungle realm, and that is it's an enchanted jungle. Every tree, every bush, every leaf is filled with sinuous life. You encounter animals with blazing eyes, who a jaguar, for example, who gazes at you with deep intelligence and seems to reach into the depths of your soul. You encounter creatures that very frequently that are part animal and part human in form. There's a technical term for such creatures. They're called therianthropes, from the Greek therion, which means wild beast, and anthropos, which means man. These beast men, these part animal, part human, shape-shifting creatures are very regularly encountered as the denizens of supernatural realms. And extraordinarily with ayahuasca, sooner or later, if people work with the brew long enough, they will see serpents. The serpent is one of the most continuous themes of ayahuasca visions. And if anybody wants to check this out, read the book by Professor Benny Shannon of the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, the book called Ayahuasca, The Antipodes of the Mind, which brings together the experiences of hundreds of people from around the world who've worked with ayahuasca. And astonishing universal themes emerge, and amongst these, the most universal of all is encounters with intelligent, telepathic serpents. I do know how strange that sounds, believe me. But again, I would ask listeners to withhold their judgment if they've not had this experience themselves, because the experience is extraordinary and transformative. And in fact, in the Amazon, they believe that the form that the spirit of ayahuasca most often takes is the form of a serpent. And I have met her in this form, wrapping her gigantic coils around my body and resting this huge head on my shoulder and just gazing into my eyes and sending me reassurance and love. This happened to me at a time when I was at a very low point in my life, and this reassuring embrace from the spirit of ayahuasca gave me great strength to continue with my journey. And so everyone who drinks ayahuasca sooner or later will see serpents, and these serpents are not terrifying in the way that snakes in the everyday world are terrifying. They're often of gigantic size, and there's a sense that they have a message for us. Very often in the ayahuasca experience, one moves beyond the jungle realms, and you can move your consciousness through extraordinary scenes and images. For example, crystal cities are very often seen.
Bram, let's come back to what we see and what that other realm is like on the other side of the brain. I'm Dr.
Okay.
Levine. We're here talking to Bram Hancock about his new book, Entangled, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsor.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.
sensitive to energy? Want to explore the world beyond the five senses? Looking for a new career as an alternative healthcare practitioner? Then the Institute of Applied Energetics, Medical Intuition, and Energy Medicine Training Programs may be right for you. Our comprehensive curriculum provides students with a deep understanding of how to detect, evaluate, and transform the subtle body, as well as techniques for correcting energetic imbalances that may underscore a person's ability to experience radiant health. So if you are sensitive to energy, contact the Institute of Applied Energetics right away. Be a catalyst for changing the way healthcare is done around the world. Visit www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com and start your new career today. How would you like to live long and enjoy great health? How about creating solid bones and whiter teeth? Strengthen your heart and eyes and have radiant, youthful-looking skin. There is an ancient health and longevity secret that has been used for millennia in Egypt, India, and China that can help you achieve this. For the first time in the modern world, Pearlseum brings this ancient wellness secret to you. For more information about Pearlseum, visit www.productsforthesoul.com. Before we get back to the show, I would like to thank all of you for tuning into Just Energy Radio. Many of the people I've helped over the years were listeners just like you. If you're at a junction in your life, don't stand alone at this important time. Call me or send me an email. We can set up a private consultation so that you too can experience health, healing, and wholeness in your life. To find out more about the services I offer, visit www.soulhealer.com.
Now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. We're still here talking with Graham Hancock. His website, if you're interested in the tour that he's on or more information about his book, is www.grahamhancock.com. Graham, before the break, we were talking about the altered realm that substances like the ayahuasca provide, and I had a question. You were mentioning meeting up with serpents, and I'm sure you've heard this argument before, and I'm just going to throw it out at you. There are people that say that the gods of the past were encountered through situations like this, through taking mind-altering substances. And then there are the people that say that the gods like the feathered serpent, et cetera, were actually an alien race that came to the earth. Any commentary based on, especially on your new experiences?
Yes, absolutely. I think that that our society today takes two nuts and bolts an approach to the mystery of alien contact. It's very clear that there's an extraordinary phenomenon going on in our society, that people are having experiences of contacts with beings that they construe as aliens from other planets. It's very clear that that unusual and extraordinary sightings of unidentified flying objects have taken place. But the conclusion that this is just physical aliens like us, in a way, who've simply mastered the technology to cross interstellar space, that's actually not based on any facts. That's just an assumption. We have a phenomenon here, but explaining what that phenomenon is, in my view, is going to require more work. And the more that I've looked into this phenomenon, and the more I've looked at the extraordinary encounters that take place in altered states of consciousness, the more I'm inclined to believe that we're dealing with an interdimensional phenomenon here, that the entities we are in contact with are actually entities from other dimensions, not from this physical dimension, and that perhaps what flying saucers are not incredibly high-tech machines for crossing millions of light years of interstellar space, but even more extraordinary machines for crossing the veil between dimensions, from popping out of one dimension and popping in to the other. And I actually believe that we as human beings are connected to and influenced by other dimensions and the inhabitants of those dimensions all the time. But most of it takes place at an unconscious level because our society has really forced us to focus entirely on the material level of vibration. And we've reached the mistaken conclusion that the material realm in which we live out our physical lives is the only realm. And shamans and quantum physicists know this not to be true, that there are multiple other realms and dimensions surrounding us. And it may be that shamans are far ahead of quantum physicists in gaining access to these other realms, not through machinery, but through altered states of consciousness. This notion, as I mentioned earlier, of a secret doorway inside our minds that can be opened with certain techniques through which we may then gain full access to other realms and other dimensions. And yes, in those dimensions, the entities do very frequently appear in serpent form. But they are shapeshifters. They can appear, the spirit of ayahuasca, as she's known in the Amazon, as I have experienced her myself, can appear in the form of a jaguar, a jungle jaguar, and can appear in the form of a wise and beautiful human woman as well. This is it's an extraordinary mystery that we're dealing with here. And I know some who are deeply committed to the Christian texts might think that a serpent was a diabolical presence. To which I can only say this is not so. This entity who chooses to appear in the form of a serpent is all about love. Sometimes it's tough love, sometimes revealing to you aspects of your own behavior that you would rather pretend were not there, and that can be very painful. But it's the beginning of a learning experience and the beginning of an opportunity to improve your behavior and become better towards other people. There's a scientific basis for this. Harvard Medical School conducted a 15-year study with some of the churches in Brazil that are mingling ayahuasca, traditional shamanism, with Christianity and use ayahuasca as their sacrament, typically drinking it twice a month. And over 15 years, Harvard Medical School was not able to document a single negative effect from the regular consumption of ayahuasca. Rather, they documented many extraordinary healings that took place, including complete remission of cancers. They documented people who were alcoholics and who beat their wives, undergoing a personality transformation, stopping drinking alcohol completely and ceasing to be violent and becoming gentle. And across the entire group that were studied, they also documented an average 6-point increase in IQ. So really there is something quite amazing going on here. And this serpent entity, the form that ayahuasca most often appears in, has also played an astonishing role in human creativity. There are a number of visionary artists working in the United States at the moment. For example, Alex Gray of the Chapel of the Sacred Mirrors in upstate New York, or Martina Hoffman and Robert Venosa in Boulder, Colorado, who have worked with ayahuasca and whose art has been utterly transformed by the experiences ayahuasca has given them. Truly looking at their art is a glimpse into another realm, and I think in future centuries their work is going to be regarded as amongst the greatest art of the 21st century. Likewise, I know of geneticists who've gone down to the Amazon to drink ayahuasca and have received stunning insights into the nature of DNA, actually helping them to solve specific problems that they've been unable to solve in the laboratory. And in my case, well, my work is in words, and I was given a story and a very strong instruction to write that story, and the end result is Entangled, which is a fantasy adventure novel, but within it are interwoven deep and I believe challenging ideas.
I'll agree. In these other realms, just to maybe put it a little bit more, and maybe this, I'm on the right track here, a little more in perspective, would these be the same realms that we would use the terms like angels and spirit guides and ghosts? Would those kind of entities, because I definitely believe that when we die or whatever, that we hang around, and people like myself that are psychics can see them, you know. I don't think I'm crazy.
Yes. No, you're not crazy. This is precisely the case. Angels are absolutely creatures of these other realms who have a great and positive interest in humanity. Unfortunately, there are also demons. The other world is not only filled with light. There's darkness out there too. And part of the mission of the human race is to make the choice between light and darkness, between good and evil. And I've tried to reflect that in my novel Entangled as well, because it is ultimately about a battle of good against evil played out over the span of time. It's not an accident that every culture in the world, they may give different names to it, but they all have notions of angels and of demons. And you're absolutely right. I mean, how could we possibly imagine that when we die, it's all over? That's just that we just have this, you know, few years on this planet, and then we die, and there's nothing else. Again, this is an illusion created by the excessively materialistic society that we live in. I actually know scientists who will tell you, hand on heart, that there is no life after death. But how could they possibly know that? How could they possibly have the experience or the knowledge to tell us that? It's a great, great mystery here. And phenomena like near-death experiences tell us very strongly that consciousness does survive physical death. And I believe it's consciousness that is the fundamental element of the entire universe. And that in our human bodies, we have incarnated in a material form in a world filled with physical jeopardy, in order to undergo important learning experiences to help us to perfect ourselves as souls. But fundamentally, we are souls who have bodies, and not simply bodies. We are ultimately souls, and we are temporarily in this suit of clothes we call the body. And when we die, our journey continues for sure. I know that this is, I know for sure that this is the case. I can't prove it scientifically. But the experiences that I have had and the accumulated wisdom of tens of thousands of years of human investigation of these problems leaves me in no doubt that we're part of a very mysterious phenomenon here.
And one that we just don't understand yet. I said yet.
Oh.
You brought
Often
up,
we don't understand.
I'm going to keep going. You brought up an interesting point. You were talking about, I was talking about the angels and the spirits, but you mentioned the demonic or the dark forces that exist, and there are a lot of people that will lead you to believe that the evil and the darkness that exists on our planet is our issue, and it's ours as a byproduct of mankind, and it's not something that is bigger and further reaching than us.
Yes, a lot of people hold that view, and I believe that view is incorrect, and it's part of the mistake that our society makes. As a matter of fact, when I discussed this problem with shamans in the Amazon, they said very clearly that the sickness of our society, of Western technological society, is that we have severed our connection with spirit. So it's no wonder that people find it difficult to believe that spiritual forces are at work in human affairs. But really, if you go back to the ancient wisdom traditions, you will find that this is very clearly spelled out. For example, the Gnostic texts of the early Christian period, texts that were brutally suppressed from about the 3rd century of the Christian era onward. Gnostic sects who used these texts were persecuted and burnt at the stake. But a body of Gnostic documentation was buried at a place called Nag Hammadi in Upper Egypt near the Temple of Dendera, and were discovered again in the mid-1940s. And these texts are truly revelatory wisdom documents. And what they tell us is that humanity is the fulcrum or the focus of a cosmic struggle, and that forces of light and forces of darkness are battling to lead us in one direction or another. And what is the special gift of the human creature is the gift of choice, that we can make informed moral choices. We all know, truly know, when an action is wrong and when an action is right. But sometimes, because we think it serves our interests, we will carry out a wrong action anyway. When we do that, we're nourishing the forces of darkness. We're nourishing the forces that seek to lead us down the wrong path, that seek to prevent us from achieving our full potential as human beings. And indeed, in the Gnostic texts, although many Christians will see this as utter sacrilege, the Gnostics proposed that the entity we have learned to call God was himself a demonic force, a massively overblown ego who was constantly instructing people to kill each other, who was violent and cruel and angry, who demanded worship and reverence at all times. Instead of calling him God, they call him an archon. They call him an imposter who has imposed himself upon humanity to lead us down the wrong path. And interestingly enough, in the Gnostic texts, a serpent also appears. The Garden of Eden story is told from a different point of view. Instead of the serpent being the bad guy, the serpent is the good guy. He's saying to people, look, God lied to you. You can eat from the tree of knowledge. The serpent is a liberating force that is bringing self-knowledge and self-consciousness to humanity. So this is a very different take on the biblical story, and I think that the wisdom in the Gnostic texts, the fundamental wisdom, is to recognize that spiritual forces are at work behind events that take place in history. And when terrible periods of darkness emerge, for example, the episode of Hitler and the Second World War, we shouldn't simply understand that in terms of material and economic forces. We should realize that dark spiritual powers and principalities were misleading humanity at that time.
And it seems like with 2012 coming up, you know, not necessarily to get into a whole conversation of 2012, it seems like a lot of people are drawing a battle line between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. You know, are we going to transcend, or are we going to blow ourselves up? Same stories just keep playing themselves over and over again.
Yeah, I believe you're right, Rita. That's exactly what's happening. I don't personally believe that we are doomed on the 21st of December 2012. I think this is a wake-up call for the planet. I think it's a time for people to take stock and consider what they're doing. Our world today has been artificially filled with fear and hatred and mistrust. And if we continue to feed the forces that generate fear and hatred and mistrust, then it is indeed possible that a dark time lies ahead of us. But if the spiritual awakening of humanity, which is taking place visibly and triumphantly all around the world today, continues, and if people refuse to feed and nourish fear and hatred and intolerance, and instead nourish love and kindness and openness of mind, then 2012 can be the beginning of a whole new cycle in the human story, an up cycle, a positive cycle, a time when we recover sovereignty over our own consciousness and move forward into a much brighter and better future. So ultimately, I feel optimistic. This is a matter that is in our hands. The choice is up to us, and we all know what the right choices are.
Thank God. Kind of changing topic here. You brought this up earlier, and you talk about this in the book. It's about entities interacting with us, entities influencing us. And I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit. So I'm assuming these are these dark, well, not necessarily dark forces, invisible forces that actually can influence us in our behavior.
Yes, and this is the fundamental dilemma that I've set up in the novel, what it is that there is a demonic force called Srupa in the Stone Age and Jack in the 21st century, who is seeking to mislead mankind. And what he's doing in the Stone Age is to influence anatomically modern human beings like you and I to wipe out, to completely destroy the last Neanderthals. And actually, it's been one of the interesting aspects of this novel, because I was shown in my visionary experiences that the Neanderthals were beings of pure light and love, beings filled with compassion, beings of enormous intelligence who used their powers for healing and who communicated with one another by telepathy. And interestingly enough, just in the last few weeks, a new science has come out which absolutely confirms this notion of the Neanderthals that I put forward in my novel Entangled. So the demonic force is seeking to persuade human beings to wipe out the Neanderthals, and by so doing, the demon will gain sufficient psychic energy to jump forward into the 21st century, manifest in a human body in the 21st century, and then weave the doom of all mankind. This is what demons do. And opposing him is the Blue Angel. And neither of these forces can intervene directly in the physical realm. The only way they can intervene is by influencing human behavior. So my Blue Angel, the angelic force in the story, selects Rhea in the Stone Age and Leone in the 21st century, brings them together through altered states of consciousness, and empowers them to fight the battle on the material plane against the demonic force that is misleading humanity. And what I'm trying to express there is a state of reality that I absolutely believe to be true. We are influenced and affected by, for want of a better word, supernatural beings and entities. And ultimately, it's what we do with that influence that matters. That's where our responsibility comes into play. And we should not shrug off that responsibility and say to ourselves, oh, simply, I was influenced by something. The choice is always ours. And one of the themes of Entangled is that evil actually cannot always be defeated, but it can always be resisted. And in the process of resisting evil, we define ourselves as human creatures. And if we do not resist evil, then we are drawn further and further down a dark path.
Would it be these individuals, and I don't really know if this is the correct word, that people who channel, you know, galactic information or utilize, you know, their spirit guides or less than stellar beings use to make decisions in their life, make choices in their lives?
Sorry, just express that more tightly as a question so I can see where you're getting to.
Okay. You know, I've often speculated that, you know, people that channel, like, galactic information, like how you got the information for this book, how you got the storyline for your book, they were actually tapping into the presence of a being from a different dimension, a different galaxy, you know, wherever that comes from. Would that be your understanding as well? It sounds like.
Yes, definitely. I've come to realize that that channeled information needs to be taken very seriously. Once I realized the huge interdimensional framework that surrounds us. So most people in our very materialistic so-called rational scientific society still have a habit of sniggering at channeling and just laugh at it and think that it's complete nonsense. And I believe that they are making a huge mistake. In fact, the way I would like to compare the whole scientific materialist worldview, it's rather like being out on a dark and foggy night with a tiny little torch in your hand and shining that torch ahead into the darkness. And the very little bit that it allows you to see, you imagine that that is all of reality. That's what the scientific worldview is doing to us now. It's taking a tiny segment of the overall truth of reality and telling us that that tiny segment is all that there is. Once we become aware that there's a vast, foggy darkness out there, that we have not yet gazed into at all, and we begin to start looking into it, then we realize that reality is much more complicated than we imagine, and channeling absolutely becomes a valid way of knowing. It's for the same reason that our society despises dreams. You know, if you want to insult somebody in our society today, we call that person a dreamer. But actually, ancient societies knew that dreams were a vital and valid way of knowing. So yes, absolutely. I believe that channelers, those who are genuine, those who have genuine skills and powers in this area, are those who can detach themselves from the material world and see deeply into the non-material dimensions that surround us and encounter the intelligent conscious entities that that inhabit those dimensions.
Graham, we only have a couple of minutes left. Is there anything that you would like to share with the readers about the book, or any last words that you would like to put out there?
Again, what I'd like to share and what I'd like to say is to readers of my nonfiction before, please give me a chance. Empower me. This is a turning point in my life. The publishing world wants to keep me as a nonfiction author. I think I have important things to say in the realm of fiction, and I've tried to write a very fast-moving adventure story that will not for one moment be boring. But that that deals with challenging issues such as the battle of good against evil, and the nature of time, and the nature of human consciousness. And I just hope that my readers will defy the publishing world and go out and read this book and speak to one another about it and spread the word, because it's the only way that this book is ever going to be heard about. Entangled, The Eater of Souls. If my readers will speak about it and spread the word and see that I've done something valid and worthwhile here. I can't do it without the help of my readers. And so I'm appealing for my readers to give me a chance as a novelist.
And
of course, the website is Yeah, I was just going to say the website is www.grahamhancock.com, and it's possible to go straight to the Entangled pages there, and you can find 4 chapters of Entangled available to read free online, and you know, make a decision about whether it's a book you want to read more of or not. And there's also a lot about the scientific background of the research and so on and so forth.
And I guess as you ask your readers to step outside the box, you also ask the publishing community to step outside their box as well.
Yes. I guess I'm asking everyone to step outside the box. In a sense, I've been doing that with all my work, but I'm on a new path now, and taking my narrative gifts, such as they are, in a different direction. And I personally have found it enormously liberating and a wonderful personal experience to write a novel.
Well, thank you, Graham. The music's going to come up in a second. Thank you for coming on the show and talking about your book. And I would love to have you come back on and we could talk about pyramids and all that good stuff, too.
Let's do that. Absolutely. It's been great to talk to you, Rita.
Well, okay. All right, everyone. That's Graham Hancock. His book is Entangled. You can get information at www.grahamhancock.com. And I will be back after the words from our sponsors.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.
Balance in all things is critical to maintaining health. In the hectic drive of today's world, many of us forget to take care of our most important asset, ourselves. At productsforthesoul.com, we want to support your effort to nurture yourself. We offer a wide variety of herbs, supplements, and high-quality, ready-to-eat, all-natural foods. We even offer holographic chip technology products that can augment the body's natural ability to increase energy, improve sleep, and mitigate pain. Best of all of our products are delivered straight to your door. It's time to start loving yourself. Visit productsforthesoul.com and let us help you along the way. Take a journey to the dark side of the spirit world and meet the bad kids on the block in Dark Angels, an insider's guide to ghosts, spirits, and attached entities. Who are these bad kids? As a child, you might have met one at night, under your bed, in your closet, or down a dark hallway. Dark Angels is an adult dissertation about ghosts. It's filled with revealing information about how these dark forces can influence our lives. Order your copy of Dark Angels today. Visit www.darkangelsbook.com for more information.
Move past the crossroads in your life and discover alternative solutions to your deepest concerns at soulhealer.com. So whether it's a physical problem, an emotional issue, a question about work, or troubles in your relationship, naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise can help you. Bring peace, harmony, and health back into your life. Schedule a session today. Visit soulhealer.com right away and live the life you've been dreaming about.